be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, proved neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." The Gospel of the Lord. On Saturday, in the passage immediately before today's Gospel, we see Jesus saying to the Father, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for what you have hidden to the wise and the clever, you have revealed to the merest of children." And today we see someone wise and clever, a scribe, who stood up in order to test Jesus and justify himself. He asked that question that Jesus himself was asked in Matthew 22. What is the greatest of all the commandments? What is the most important thing I need to do to inherit eternal life, to enter into God? Because Jesus knew what was going on, he asked this one who wanted to justify himself to show what he knew. And he got it right, totally. Not just the most important thing, but the commandment that was likewise possible that what happened in Matthew 22 occurred before this, and the man was like a sycophantic student repeating what the master himself had already taught. Who knows? But he got it right. But then, wishing to justify himself, he asked, "Who is my neighbor?" This is a very important question, then and now. Then, the Jews always needed to focus on who was their neighbor and who wasn't. They considered their neighbor anybody else who basically lived by the Mosaic law or was Jewish. They needed to care for each other, and they cared for the God-fearers, those non-Jews, the uncircumcised, who recognized what God had given the Jews. Those were their neighbors. They had to care for them. But everybody else, they could treat, as one contemporary rabbi said, as a fire, as a straw for the fires of hell. They didn't have to love those who were not their neighbor. In fact, as Jesus himself would say during the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And anybody who wasn't a Jew or a God-fearer was considered an enemy and worthy of nothing but hate. So to answer this question of who the neighbor was it central? Likewise, it is today. Sure, yesterday you read the 200-page encyclical letter given to us by Pope Francis, Fratelli Tutti, and the scriptural passage there that guides all the chapters is the Good Samaritan. Because Pope Francis, in wanting to precipitate his revolution of tenderness in the middle of the world, recognized that this was the single most powerful image Jesus gave us about how we're supposed to care for each other. He's diagnosed many times over the problems that flow from a globalization of indifference, that so many people are suffering and many people aren't moved to help. He's talking about it at an individual moral level for every single one of us. But then he was talking about it at higher levels. What's happening with COVID-19? What's happening at an economic level? What's happening at a political level? What's happening at the level of the international community? Are we proving ourselves neighbor to those who are in need? Or are we justifying ourselves like the priest and the Levite did in the parable, by passing by rather than drawing near? He used this image in chapter 2. I'd encourage you, if you can only reread one chapter today, to reread chapter 2. Because it really sets the ground. The church is meant to be a fraternity of good Samaritans. We're supposed to be the leaven in the midst of the dough that helps the whole world learn how to love God and love neighbor to the point of drawing near God and drawing near neighbor. In order to be able to do this adequately, we need God's help. So Jesus came not merely to teach us. He came not merely to show us, but he came to help us from the inside. Today in the first reading, we have the first of 9 passages from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, which we'll have through the middle of next week. In it, St. Paul stresses God's grace. And throughout the rest of the letter, we're going to see what God's grace has us do. Has us die to ourselves, to be crucified to ourselves so that Christ can truly live. Makes us open to cooperation with the Holy Spirit in such a way that we will become truly free and bear the fruits of the Spirit. And the first of all those fruits is real love, which is so much more than a feeling, but an action flowing from an entire orientation of life in which we're willing the other's good as other. The letter to the Galatians was trying to help the people there in Galatia 1900 years ago learn how to love God and love others. And God's grace is sent. Today, as the church here in the Archdiocese of New York celebrates the feast of the dedication of St. Patrick's Cathedral, it's an opportunity for all of us to remember what the church is supposed to be. It's first supposed to be a house of prayer, where God is loved and adored. But it's also supposed to be a launching point for us to go out to do what Christ did in the Eucharist in memory of him. to say, this is my body, this is my blood, these are my hands, this is my mule, this is my money, this is my oil, my wine, all I am and have, given out of love for you. Today we rejoice that we have three examples of people transformed by God's compassion, who likewise began to spread that compassion to others, began to live it. First is St. Faustina Kowalska. She received her vocation as religious when she made her first Holy Communion, but her parents didn't really want to have anything to do with that. But eventually she went to a dance. She was 18, 19, in her town of Lodz. She, at the end of that, saw Jesus, who made quite clear that he didn't want that type of lifestyle for her, and urged her to leave right away, become a religious sister. That's all he gave. She left, went to Warsaw, talked to a priest she met about which community to enter, and he gave some suggestions, and off she went. Didn't take her because religious communities didn't take maids. She kept going around. Finally, she met the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy, and they said they'd take her on one condition, that this poor girl be able to pay for her own habit. She needed to work a year to get enough money to pay for a habit, not to mention to pay for her upkeep over the course of the year. But eventually she was admitted. And it was there that the Lord revealed to her the depth, the abyss of his merciful love for all humanity, allowed her to enter, we could say, into his own schlankna, to his own gut-bursting compassion. She began to take it all down, and as a result of it, she suffered. First priest to whom she mentioned what was happening wanted to send her to, and did send her to a psych. The other sisters, as soon as they found out, started to persecute her out of envy. They were so much more gifted than she was, they thought. Why would she, of all people, be receiving special graces? But that's always been the Lord's M.O. She became his great secretary, his stenographer of mercy, by which we would be able to see and become devoted to the way his mercy pours out on the world. Mercy not only for all of us left by the devil, abandoned in ditches, beaten up in so many ways, but also mercy on the Levites and the priests, on all those who sin by omission, not to mention commission. And we're so grateful for her cooperation with that plan of mercy. And she shows us a beautiful witness of how it's done. The Lord revealed his mercy to her and said, go and do the same. And that's what she did in her prayer and her charity for all those who lived with her. Second great witness, traverse these streets. Blessed Francis Xavier Seeloff, who came here from Bavaria as a redemptorist religious, someone commissioned from the time of St. Alphonsus Liguori to preach about mercy and conversion and help so many others to learn not just to open that gift, but to use that gift in their interrelations. He and St. John Neumann lived together, working to spread the faith in Pittsburgh. Eventually, after traveling as a missionary to many places, he was made a pastor in New Orleans, where in addition to building schools and an orphanage in order to spread the mercy of the Lord and carry out the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy, when New Orleans was hit with yellow fever, he crisscrossed the town indefatigably, in order to minister to those who are sick and dying. Just like Damon of Molokai caught leprosy in Kaluapapa, so Francis Xavier caught yellow fever and died in 1867 at the age of 48 from this disease. He was one who was a cheerful ascetic, as he was called even in life. He cheerfully sacrificed himself to the point of his death for others. Yet one more who went and did likewise. And the third, whom we mark today in the Universal Church, is Blessed Bartolo Longo, who was devout when he was a boy, who when Garibaldi was rampaging the Papal States and the secularists thought that the age of the church was over, he entered as a teenager the University of Naples, where many of his professors were ex-priests who were teaching hatred for God, for the church, and particularly for Pope Blessed Pius IX. And he got under their spell. But Bartolo Longo was someone who only knew one speed, pedal to the metal, and he wouldn't do anything by halves. He was going to hate the church, he was going to do it in the most effective way. So he started to engage in the occult and eventually consecrated himself to Satan as a satanic priest. His health started to sink down. Eventually one of the professors at the University of Naples, Vincenzo Pepe, saw him, tried to reason with him, and begged him to talk to a Dominican. The Dominicans were particularly hated because they were calling out the heresies and the falsities of the ex-priests on the faculty of the university. So Bartolo resisted, but he knew what his state was in, and so he agreed. Eventually that Dominican, after 3 weeks of daily conversations with him and a lot of suffering and mortification, was able to hear his confession and welcome him back in the church. From that point on, Bartolo wanted to do reparation. He started as a penance to work in the Hospital of the Incurables, where nobody else would go out of fear of disease, and poured himself out in love as a good Samaritan in that inn. But the devil was still tempting him. The devil kept sulfurously reminding him that he had been consecrated to the evil one, and that would never be revoked, and that he was going to be the devil's forever. It worried him to the point of almost committing suicide. But then, by a particular grace, he recognized that there was one in whom God had placed total enmity for the evil one, Our Lady. And he consecrated himself to her, hoping that she would help sever the cord. And she did. And in gratitude, with the help of a rich widow, he built the sanctuary of Our Lady of Pompeii so that others would be able to come and place themselves under her patronage. It was from there that he spread great devotion to the one who, more than any other disciple, lived what Jesus was teaching in today's gospel, taking Jesus, that good Samaritan, to her cousin in haste to care for her in need, so that the good Samaritan might be able to do his thing, even from within. And it's Blessed Bartolo Longo who gave us the luminous mysteries, so that we would be able to see in the light of these gifts, especially the third, our summons to perpetual conversion, precisely because the kingdom and the King are here. As we prepare to offer to the Eternal Father his dearly beloved Son, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in expiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world, we thank the Eternal Father for loving us so much that he sent his Son to cross the road to rescue us, to nurse us back to health by the sacrament, and to strengthen us, form us, and commission us to go out to do what the Good Samaritan ceaselessly calls us to do. And his vicar on earth summoned us to do all the more yesterday. Thank you.